Thank you. deliver me. Oh, I'm not afraid to trust him. He's on my side. I'm not afraid to trust him. He is my guide. He's able to deliver from every bond and grief. I'm not afraid to trust him, for he will deliver me.
I'm not afraid to trust him. talking to Paul, I guess it was last Sunday, and he was talking about how, I believe he would mind me saying this, he worries sometimes about how people look at him for, you know, getting up in every service. And, you know, he went to, you know, going to a smaller church when he was going to Glenwood, said if you don't get used to doing that, nobody's going to get up. And not every time are you feeling it when you get up, and I virtually never am. I find it very odd. I've always been jealous. I was talking to Zach about this the other day about even his gift when he gets it behind the pulpit, or Brother Phil or Nathan Painter or all these younger men. I still consider myself a younger man that have got this gift and that's knack. It seems like for getting up and behind the pulpit and saying things in a certain way, and I sit there and watch them in awe. I have all my entire life thinking, where do they come up with this? Where do they get these words? And I have no problem. As everybody here knows, I'm not a bashful person. One-on-one, 1-on-20, not a problem. But getting up and expressing myself in the way that people in the body do has always never come easy for me, and it probably never will. I don't feel it. I remember sitting up in the PA room years ago and watched during a youth meeting. There was a bunch of kids sitting in the front row, and they all had dressed exactly the same, and they were all had their hands exactly the same way. They were practicing, and I was like, I don't even feel that. That's not how I communicate. But that's not to say that just because I don't communicate that way is not, I mean, it's not right for me. I don't think it is. It may be my old pride that doesn't want to let go and communicate. I don't know. But, I mean, it's obvious that, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, y'all have watched me for years, you know. But I am thankful. I've seen here on Facebook here the last, week or so, as we come into the month of Thanksgiving, that they've got some kind of countdown. Like, you know, on the first day of the year, the first day of the month, you're supposed to post that, you know, what you're thankful for, your family, and then your house, and then your job, and this and that. And I thought, man, that is so disingenuous that we have to wait for a day or a month even to say what we're thankful for. I mean, when I think of what, you know, I was talking to this man yesterday, and this man is messed up in the head. I mean, seriously, shell-shocked, post-traumatic stress syndrome, a very, very strange man. But he was talking about motorcycles. He was talking about this. He's got a really nice motorcycle. And in between cuss words, and he said, yeah, when I was out there polishing my bike, I was thanking God for my motorcycle. And it struck me that this man, who's got all the issues that he has, would pause to be thankful. Would even occur to him to be thankful. And what, you know, what more do I go through my life every day, every minute, and not seeing, you know, the things that I need to be thankful for? You know, I can go from being thankful to being down in the mully grubs in a split second. All it takes is somebody looking at me wrong, saying the wrong thing. I perceived that they said the wrong thing, and they may not have meant anything by what they said at all. But I wanted to stand tonight and just say how thankful I am. I know that, you know, it's according to, you know, how you look at things. I know that when Joanne's dad died unexpectedly at the age of 65, you know, went to bed, told her mom goodnight, went to bed at 9 o'clock. Her mom goes to get in bed at 9:30. He's gone. And that sounds like a horrible thing. You know, you think about it. But just the other day, I had to see a buddy of mine, and his wife was in the nursing home. I may have said this already. When I walked into that nursing home, I was just struck with these people that had no idea where they were at. They were suffering. I thought, well, who am I to judge? Whether God was being merciful or not, by taking Jim in his sleep. What more could we ask for to go peacefully in our sleep? You know, and if you think about it, and at the time it was a tragedy, and it was a hardship, and still is a hardship on Joanne and her mom and this and that, but I think about how merciful God is, and sometimes we don't even know he's being merciful. I know I've got a customer that her and her husband have been trying to have a baby for years. I mean, that's all I ever heard when I called on her was how they were doing in vitro and all this and that. And she finally got pregnant, and she was ecstatic. I mean, she was just absolutely beside herself. And then 2 months later, had a miscarriage and was just absolutely devastated, as you can imagine, after being trying for years and years. And she would, you know, as I go to church, she would ask me, how is God in that? Because I tell her, Romans 8:28, I have no other answer, but all things work together for the good. I don't have any answers. It's above my pay grade. And after about 6 months later, she found out that her husband was cheating on her and went through a horrible, nasty divorce and couldn't see the good in that. And one day it just occurred to me, and I called her up. I said, do you remember when you had that miscarriage and you could not find any good in that? I said, do you ever think that if you hadn't had that, you would be tied to this man that you found out that did all these evil things? You'd be tied to that man for the rest of your life. So who are we to say? Because we don't know. We don't know what God's got in store for us. And I'm thankful that I've got that peace. And I, you know, we're looking at this election come Tuesday, and I just turn it on the TV. I can feel my blood pressure going up. I mean, I can. I went home between services today and turned it on, and CNN, Fox, everybody, that's all they're talking about. And I could feel my heart rate. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, good Lord, what am I worried about? I mean, we live in the greatest country, you know, and then I catch myself doubting. We've been taught for years and years, I'm Brother Tucker, Brother Liniger, Brother Weiniger, Brother Smith, here in this church, that the United States has been put here for the restoration of the church. And then you see all the evil that goes on, and I see all the evil that goes on in the news, and I follow that mess, and I think, Lord, that's hard to believe. That is really hard to believe. But I have to believe when I see, you know, I don't even know where I'm going down this road, but I am thankful that I have a peace. I know that, you know, about this time last year, you know, I was almost a nervous wreck worrying about my job, and I think back on it, and really nothing's changed. The job market's the same. My job's the same. The stress is the same. The pressure's the same. But I don't stress it. And I believe that God took that from me. I really do. And I'm thankful for that. And when I see other people go through that now, and sometimes it's easy when there's nobody more self-righteous than a reformed alcoholic. Because, you know, I have a tendency when I see other people go through that, I have a tendency to say, come on, you know, you can pray your way through that. But I have to think that God delivered me from that. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what he's done for us as a church. And I know that sometimes our numbers are down, but then when I see somebody come in that sees and feels something, you know, this man, Arthur Vaughn, that's been coming on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings, he's got a church right across the street that he could walk to. I mean, it's with, you could throw a rock from where he stays across Barrel Road to this little church, and they're really nice people. I've been there. I went there the other night when I dropped him off. I went across the street and just stuck my head in the door and didn't realize that I still haven't church. And that was different. So they asked me, they asked me to speak, invited me down front, prophesied over me. I'm going to stop there every Wednesday night from now on. I'm going to try to get an offering next time. But I'm going to try. I mean, can't blame him for trying. But he still, he comes here. And I want, sometimes, you know, I get, they say you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes I want to ask people like that, I want to know, what do you see? What do you really see? What do you feel that causes you to keep coming back when you don't have to? When I think that I was raised here and that I felt like I have to because I don't know any other way. I know too much to go anywhere else. But if I didn't know what I do know, what would keep me coming back? If I didn't have to come here, I wonder that. And a lot of times I want to ask these people that, but then, because I want to ask, I'm not asking for them. I want to know for me. You know, what are you seeing? What do you really see? What do you feel? But I know it sounds like I'm doubting where, but I don't doubt where I'm at. I know for a, I know with a dead certainty that where I'm at is where I was planted. You know, years ago, when the church was going through the shaking we went through, and I had a dream that Brother Tucker came back from the dead, and he was in my living room, and he was laying on the couch, and he was playing with these kids, and I had all these. I wanted to ask him, "What is up? What's going on? You know, what is the reason for what we're going through?" And he was playing with these kids and imitating a frog and just this. And I was getting really worked up, thinking, "Come on, I want to know. I want to ask some questions here." And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, I don't have to ask him any questions because I know what he's going to say. Why do I have to hear him say it that you're in the right place when I know that's what he's going to say? It's like, you know, I remember growing up, and I think every boy at one point in his life wants somebody to tell him he's a man. He wants some authority figure to tell him, okay, you've made the transition from boy to a man. And a lot of, and most boys never get that. And that's something that I feel they lack, that they lack in their life. They're always looking for that. But at some point, you got to realize you don't have to be told. If you have to be told you're a man, to me it's like having to be told you're funny. If somebody has to tell you you're funny, you're probably not funny. If somebody has to tell you you're popular, you're probably not popular. But if you know in your heart, that if I know in my heart that I'm chosen, I don't have to have anybody tell me that. I don't have, you know, so and I'm thankful for that, and maybe that's just part of growing up. I don't know, but I appreciate what's happening in this church, and I appreciate, you know, what we're hearing and how we're moving forward, and I am thankful for God keeping his hand over us. You know, I think about it all the time when I think of, you know, how many or how few tragedies. You take 125, 150 people, just out of a normal range of people out in the general population, how many car wrecks, heart attacks, all the excuse me, murders, robberies, burglaries, just all the bad things that's going to happen to just a regular cross-section of 125 to 150 people. I bet you if you pull the statistics on it, it'd be off the charts. We don't have that. I mean, I think about that, you know, and I don't want to leave that covering. Many times when I've been tempted to leave and go do other things, or you get offended or put out, you know, you think, but I was like, well, Lord, I don't want to leave that covering. I don't, you know, no matter what I believe, it's like an insurance policy, almost like believing in hell. You sometimes you stick it, but if that's what holds me, you know, if that's what holds me through the hard times, maybe that's all I can hope for. But I've proven once again that I don't need to get up and preach. But because here I go down that other road. But I am thankful. I really am thankful, and I'm thankful for God's people and the people that are here. And I look out there and I see how much of a contribution that people make, even when they think they're not making a contribution. I mean, we could ask just about anybody in this church, and you would think that your part here is not much, you know, when you think about it. But when you think about how it affects everyone when one of us isn't here, I mean, from the least to the most. I know that, and I'll end with this, I love Special Olympics. I love kids with Down syndrome. I don't know what it is, but I just love them to death. And we go and volunteer for the Special Olympics every year when they have their grand opening up here, their opening ceremonies in Searcy. And it occurred to me the first year I did that the scripture, as you do unto the least of these, do you even so to me. For the first year I went, I thought that the least of these meant those kids with Down syndrome. And then the next year I went back, I thought, well, the least of these might be me. Because if they're doing everything they can, with what they've got, and I'm not, who am I to judge who is the least of these? And I think about that, you know, when we from our smallest kids to our oldest saints here, that that when they're not here, they make a difference. When I know it makes a difference to us to not look back there and not see Sister Wilkins. Or I could think back, you know, to not see Sister Tony. Or Brother Jab Stockstill. Or I could keep going down the list, and I don't forget. I've walked through this church at after church before, and I remember where each of these people sat over the years. Brother and Sister Foster. You know, and all, Brother Tony. I mean, just on at who? Brother House. Sister Rice. These saints that have went on before us that when they were here, they would have probably thought they didn't make a contribution. But I, as you know, if they hadn't been here, we wouldn't be here. And I'm thankful. And I want to be counted worthy of their sacrifice. And I appreciate everybody here, and I want to go on with y'all.
Thankful to be here tonight, and I was just thinking of the mercy of the Lord and him keeping his hand on us, and just to be able to be here. And I was just thinking of the Psalms, Psalms 118, and it seems like somebody has read this before, but it just kind of just kept going over and over in my mind. I just want to read part of it, if y'all want to go there with me. Psalms 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall. But the Lord help me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. Yeah. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. I don't like is getting in front of all. I'd rather sing a song or something than to stand up and talk, because it's like I just lose my whole everything. But that was a good scripture, yes. Cindy. And if it wasn't for God's mercy, well, none of us would be here. None of us. None of us would be here today.
That's right.
And I'm sorry. And I don't want to just come in here and just sit and not be thankful for His mercy. Every single one of us in this assembly has something that we can be thankful for. Oh, goodness. You know, sometimes when you've been here for a long time, sometimes you just kind of lose your enthusiasm. You know, you just kind of take things for granted. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take things for granted and just occupy my seat here. Oh, Jesus. We all have things to be thankful for. Oh, me, oh, my. Oh, Jesus. And I know, you know, What is it, Brother Tucker, about the fire? I'd rather there be a little bit of wildfire than no fire at all. And I'm like, I guess I'm kind of like Sister Crow. I get antsy when, you know, when there's these long, drawn-out pauses. Jesus. And I'm not here. I'm not rebuking, but I thought, oh, Adelaide. Sometimes I thought, oh, my heart sometimes just longs for it. That deep touch of the Lord and a little fire. Woo, glory. I don't want to take things for granted. I just don't want to sit here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If it wasn't for His mercy, where would we be? Where would we be? We'd be out there and lost in a world full of sorrow. Glory. I'm thankful for His mercy. I'm thankful that He included me. That He included me. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Lord. There used to be a brother Tom. He used to sing that song, "I came on business for the King." What is, I just can't sit here and do my own thing. I came on business for the King. And when I come in, I want to come in on business for my King. Yeah. Woo, glory. Oh. Woo. And I'm sorry if you're not feeling what I'm feeling, but I can't express what I feel. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I want it. Glory. I'm longing. I have a longing for the glory. For that deep, wonderful touch of the Lord where it just rains down upon you and it just floods your soul. I'm longing for that. I'm longing for that. I don't want you to sit here. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the touch of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I appreciate that He brought me to this body of people. And if nothing, you want to be thankful for that He brought us here. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're not feeling what I'm feeling. I'm sorry. Oh, Jesus. But... Oh, there's a chorus that we sing. It's like it's no time now to sleep. It's time to awake. It's time to press onward and correct each mistake. And I want to correct the things in my life that are not right. Jesus. Oh, precious Lord, precious Lord. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that I'm here. Oh, Jesus. I appreciate you, Lord. I appreciate your goodness and your mercy to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, who is this? So we can have a popcorn testimony. Just get up. You just don't sit. Just get up and say, I'm thankful, Lord. Turn around and sit down. Woo, glory. We can all do that. Just get up. Say, I'm thankful. Turn around and sit down. You never know what will take place. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're not feeling what I'm feeling. But I just know it's no time now to sleep. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Room for to lay down because I am very, very thankful. I got so much to be thankful for. I mean, y'all all know about my accident September 21st, but I haven't said what's happening between. I mean, I'm still under a doctor's care, but that's not what I'm getting up about. In between that time, four different occasions, somebody said the other day, you are a magnet for those people. Because me and Elisha and Hannah were coming down Stagecoach, a big old 18-wheeler just decided to come in front of me, and I was like, oh, my God. And I just turned that wheel and went into this yard. Well, it was a business yard, but I went in there, and Elisha said, Nana, we could have been crushed. I said, well, thank you, Lord, that we didn't, Elisha. God has his hand on us. I said, oh, my God, thank you, Lord, for being so merciful. And so we go on. We get down to a stop sign about a mile away, and big old truck, the one that gets sand, dump truck, yeah, decides he's going to back up into me. And I was like, I just went on the horn, putting my car in reverse, and I went backward, and I'm like, what is wrong with these people? And he, backed up. He would have hit me if I hadn't. So he went on again. I just, Lord, if you want me to thank you every minute, I will. And I just kept on thanking him, because I had my grandchildren with me. And I was driving Keith's old car, the one he gave to DJ, a little silver one, and we would have been crushed. And so I thought, Lord, I don't want to have a wreck in somebody else's car. I need my own car. So in the meantime, they were still deciding how much to give me for my car and everything. And my mechanic said that, hey, you got the Honda from me. Come on, see what I got. So I go over there the next day, and I looked at me and Stan went, took three cars out, and we just didn't feel right about them, and something, something just didn't feel right. Neither one, but he wanted me to make the decision. So I said, I'm sorry, Charlie, but, they just didn't feel right. He goes, you know what? Hold on. He said, I forgot. I've got this car over here. He said, I don't know why I keep holding, but, why don't you take it out? And I'll tell you the story behind it later. We got in there, and as soon as we got out the lot, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I didn't say nothing to him, but Stan goes, what do you feel? And I go, I like it. He goes, I do too. I said, oh, my God, this feels good, And then he started playing with some stuff, warms your seat and everything. And I was like, oh, wow, I've never had that before. That's a luxury, So we started driving, and we come back. I said, Charlie, that's it. I want that car. And he said, well, he said, this lady, what happened, she blew the motor engine blew, and she brought it in and asked how much it was going to cost. And I told her $3,500, and she said, well, let me go home and think about it. She called him back about a week and said, hey, how much you want to give me for that car? And he said, like it is. He said, $600. He goes, I'll take it. So he fixed it. He put a new motor engine, everything. And he had a couple more things he had to do to the front. But he said something just kept telling him, just wait, didn't want to put it on the lot. And he said, now I know why. He said, I think God wanted me to save it for you. And I said, oh, I think so too. And I said, but wait a minute, how much? He said, I was going to ask $6,500, but whatever the insurance gives you, it's your car. Well, the insurance gave me $4,000, and that's what I got my car with. And I am so thankful because now I feel safe. I mean, hey, I've already had another magnet over there. I mean, not a magnet, but you know what I'm saying. Two cars to try to whack me. It was their fault. And again, I had my grandkids with me, I was like, people. And then I remember my grandfather used to say, I was, 11, 12 years old. He used to say, when you get ready to get out there and drive, you're just not driving for yourself. You got to drive for those people. You drive like they're crazy. And I said, oh, my goodness, I know now what Grandpa was talking about. They are some bunch of crazy. I mean, I'm one more out there, but, I'm watching what I'm doing. And I am more careful. I know I was a little, a lot of, right now they diagnose a lot of kids with ADD and all this stuff and give them drugs. Well, back then in the day, they didn't really diagnose people. And I know if I'd have gone, they would have, put me on way up here because I am a hyper person. But I dealt with it and And I know that, and that's why they say that people with that have that tendency of using that gas, you know, speeding and all that. And but that's already gone out of my system. But when I first started driving, yeah, you know, I'll admit, I had like 7 tickets in 1 year. And the policeman said, whoever sent me a letter, Miss Fisher, if you get one more ticket this year, we are going to suspend your license. I have not got a ticket since. So that's been since 2004, I think, or 3. Anyway. So that scared me. That scared the speed out of me. And anyway, I just want, and God has kept his hand on me every time. And I don't want to, you know, think that, you know, yeah, I was lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. That was God and the mercy and that somebody stored for me. And I want to be able to also show mercy to store for my grandchildren and my son and so forth. But, you know, there's been a lot right now going on that I don't want, you know, like, okay, I have a cousin that put a family page on there and said, okay, y'all can put pictures, you can put post different things, but no drama. Well, you know, I don't want to give you any drama. But when this is over with, I will let y'all know what's going on. But I'm thankful that God, I am talking right now. I'm able to talk. He, you know, a lot of people that were in accidents or different situations cannot stand right here and say they're out in the graveyard. So I don't have any reason to complain if I'm hurting here or there, you know. Hey, I'm thankful I can hurt because I'm here. So I'm just so appreciative. When Sister Dolores was up, you know, saying she was sorry. No, don't be sorry for feeling that way. Thank God you are. And I feel that way. And I do apologize for not getting up. I'm like you and Brad that, yeah, I remember me and Brett, if it wasn't him first, I'd get up. Or if I was first, then he'd get up. We were like having a competition or something. But it seems like he's beating me now. He's got more ahead of me than I have. But that's the reason behind that is that, like, two of you, whoever said that today or tonight, that you don't want to feel like people are, oh, I got up last week. Oh, she got up last week. So what? You know, we don't need to feel that way because God has done every day. He's blessing me. You know, every day he's touching me. Or my family and so forth. And I am thankful every day. I might not put it on Facebook, but I am thankful every day. I thank him every day for everything. But I just thought since I saw a couple of people doing it, I go, oh, I'm going to do that too. You know, last year I didn't do it, but I thought I'm going to do that too and see how many things I can be thankful for. Well, there's a lot that I can be thankful for, so I got to save them. And I'm going to continue on to the end of the year. But I just want to get up and do my part. Like, you know, you said, you know, about you just get up and say, and we used to do that. Remember somebody say, I'm thankful to be here, and then just sit down, and somebody else said, I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful, you know. I remember those days. I remember when we were popcorn testimoniers, whatever you call it. That's a new word, isn't it? I remember, yeah, Stan said one time, yeah, there's a dictionary out there just for you, Linda. You make up words as you go. And so anyway, I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful for to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a part of this family of God. And I love so much. I love you guys for being there for me when I need somebody to, you know, listen to me or just put up with me. And that's kind of hard, I know, but that's what families are for, right? We, you know, cry on each other's shoulders or whatever. But I am not the drama queen that I used to be. Thank God. But Sister Joyce ought to tell you some of her stories. But anyway, Sister Joyce, you ought to get up and say something. But I love each one of you, and I appreciate you.
Wouldn't say it because I didn't want to sound like I was bossy or anything like that, but take it as the way you want to. I was talking about being thankful. If the Lord would tell you, he would tell you that I have sat down and talked to him, and I've told him how that I'm sorry, like Sister Dolores was talking about, we sit around, we don't get up as fast as we should, and I've repented to the Lord. I mean, I have felt bad, just really, really bad. And I would go home and from church, and I would talk to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't get up, and I did the same thing here a while ago. I was supposed to got up, already got up. Somebody beat me up, so I'm up now. And so just bear with me. I'm going to tell you something. But anyway, I told the Lord that, Lord, I know that we have got so much to be thankful for. And we don't say this, braggadocious or anything like that, but it's just plain facts. God has blessed us with a great knowledge of the Word of God. He has brought us to the body of Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, we can't say that enough. We can't say that enough because it's really true. And I thought, too, how that we are a unique people. And unique means that we're one of a kind. There's no one, there's no other body of people like us. We know that. And again, I'm glad it's just us people here because, we know each other's language. We know what you mean. We know we're not been bragging, but we're just telling the facts. But we are a unique people, and that's Bible. It says in the Bible that we are a unique people, and we are to be a people that that no one else is like us. And you know, there's people that meets us, and they say, I don't know what it is about you folks. I just don't understand it. Just to be around you, there's something about you that I feel something that I don't feel around other people. Well, they don't know that we are a unique people. We are God's people. We don't do everything right yet, but we're striving for that. And we don't hear a lot of people talk about perfection, but we know that there is a place of perfection that we can attain to. And I'm thankful that God has brought us here. And I was thinking the other day, thanking the Lord, and something was said that, I listened all last week. I listened to the camp meeting. And it was really some wonderful things said, and I enjoyed it to the fullest extent. It was really good. And I thought how that someone sung a song that if he hadn't wanted us, he wouldn't call us. And I thought, Lord, that's the first time I've enjoyed that song all my life. But I thought, Lord, you call me. I know you call me. And the thing that I'm so appreciative about, I know I'm where the Lord wants me. I know I am. I'm supposed to be right in this church. This is where I am. And I've told you time and again, don't you try to run me off because God put me here and he won't let me leave. So just leave me alone. Just bear with me. But anyway, God is so good. But I thought about that song, and when they sang it, I enjoyed it so much because I know my experience in the Lord. How that the Lord called me just a young girl. I didn't know what it was all about. I didn't understand that God was talking to me until later and all. But I was so thrilled when I heard that song. I said, Lord, you call me. And you know that I can make it. Or you wouldn't even call me. And I never thought about it just to that extent at all. But I thought, well, I'm glad, Lord, that you trust me. And I'll sure try my best to fulfill that trust that you have in me. So God is so good. And I thought of what a consolation it is that I know that I'm where God wants me. I know he put me here. I know he brought me to the body of Jesus Christ. Nobody talked to me. I mean, what I mean, nobody tried to encourage me, say, this is where you ought to be. This is what you ought to do. But God talked to me and brought me to the body of Jesus Christ just like he did the rest of you people. You've got the experience like I've had, I'm sure. But I thought, so when I sat there and was meditating and talking to the Lord, I thought, Lord, I'm so happy that I know where I'm at. And you know what? I'm happy in this church. I mean, you know, we know that everything's not like it's supposed to be, but it's not like it is. I mean, it's going to be better, if you get me right. It's going to be better. And I mean, I don't mean that to be putting the church down, but we all know that we haven't reached perfection yet, so there's some things wrong. And I just thought, Lord, I can truthfully say that I have never looked for another church. I've never desired to look over the fence someone else that they have better services or they have a better preacher. I never, never have. And thank the Lord I've got that experience that I believe in this church. I love this church. I love you people. And I appreciate the fact that God has brought me here, and I've had so many experiences in my lifetime. I could tell you a lot of things that the Lord has done that has clinched the thing that to let me know that I'm in the right place, and I have no desire to leave whatsoever. I believe this is the will of God for me to be right here. And we've traveled all over the country, Brother Durham, just like you come from California. And it's wonderful that God reaches in different parts of the country and deals with his people. And I'm thankful for that, and I want to do my part and to show him that I'm thankful that he thought enough of me to bring me to the body of Jesus Christ. And I know my family is nice to me and all like that, but they're in different walks of life, but they've got confidence in us. They've watched us over the years, and we've tried our best to hold the standard in every way, and we've tried to use wisdom when we talk to them and all, and they've got confidence. And when they get in trouble or need prayer, I get kind of tickled down. And instead of saying, pray for me, they say, will you be thinking about me? I thought, oh, I sure will. I'll really be thinking about you. So anyway, God is so good, and I thought how that he give us this chance to show to the world, to be a light to the world, to let them to see that there's something different. God is doing something different, and I'm so thankful. I spent some time out in religious world. I didn't ever join anything. I didn't realize that it. I didn't think it was right to join anything. I didn't have nobody talk to me about it, but I just had a feeling that it wasn't right to join any church, and so I didn't. But I'm just so happy that the Lord seen my heart when I asked for the right thing. I said, Lord, I'd like to know the right thing. And you've heard me tell this many times, and I'll be telling you some more because it's wonderful. It's real to my soul. And to know that to all the walks of life, and there's so many people that's going down that trail, and a lot of people that will never make it. But thank the Lord, he can see our hearts. He can see the desires of our heart and bring us to the place that he wants us to, and I'm so thankful that happened to me, and I just appreciate him, and I am so glad that we are a unique, different people. We're supposed to act different, supposed to look different, supposed to just be different in every way, but yet not be a people that will just try to stand out. We're just supposed to just be normal, and what I mean is normally right, but yet be a unique people that they can see that there's something in our lives and that will cause them to feel what they feel when they're around us and all. So tonight I would really like to fulfill those things because I realize that I've given all my life. I've had the Holy Ghost since I was 14 years old, so I know very little about the world. Just some way or other God got a hold of me, and he's seen I desired to live for him, and so he wouldn't let me get messed up in the world. So I know very little about the world as far as partaking of it. And I suppose 5 movies is all I ever been to in my life. And we was taught that was wrong. So just so many things that I appreciate since I've been in the body of Christ that we have been taught. Have been taught strict. I mean, I come up under some strict ministers, and I appreciate them. I really do. Just like sometimes whenever they're getting a little bit close to you, it don't feel too good. Your flesh don't like it. But then afterwards, when you come to sense, you'll realize that it's for your own good. Just like our daughter. We raised our daughter real strict. I mean, we didn't mistreat her or anything like that, but we taught her the strictness. And when she went to school, I made sure she looked like a saint of God. And wherever she was at, because that's the way we was taught. And I thank God for her. And one day I told her, I said, well, Judy, I said, I know Daddy and me have been strict on you. And sometimes I think maybe we've been too strict. She said, no, Mom, you have not. Said, I'm thankful that you were strict on. Said, if you hadn't been, said, no telling where I would be or what I would do. Said, you have not been too strict. So that really made me feel good, because to know that she accepted that. And so that's the way that I feel in the body of Christ. The ministers that we've come up and we, us older people, we've come through some strict teaching, really strict teaching. They wasn't worried about hurting your feelings. They wanted to save your soul. Yeah. And so that's the way we took it. And we would go home and maybe, I've gone home from service and cried and all. But then when I come to myself, I realize that was the right thing. That was the right thing. So I just brushed my tears away and went on back to church and accepted things and tried to live for God the best I know. And now I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I come up under a strict ministry that was absolutely determined to put us in the bride of Jesus Christ. And today, if we don't walk close to God, we won't make it, brothers and sisters. We won't make it. And we know that we've got to walk strict before the Lord if we make it in Him, because God is going to have His way. He's going to have it not our way, but He's going to have His way. And we'll do it like He says do it, or brother, we just won't make it. That's just all it is to it. So I'm glad tonight that it's like that. And I'm ready to get in the harness. I ain't got many more years, but I'll tell you what, I've tried my best all these years, but I'm still ready to back this thing up, and I'm not ashamed of it, because this, to me, is the greatest thing there is. Yeah. And we all know that. That's why we're here. We know that. And if we don't shine for the Lord, we're going to shine for somebody. Yeah. So I'll just tell you one thing. I want my son to shine for the Lord. So yes. Tonight, I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. And Brother Brett, thank you for bringing us to that thought of being thankful. I know that we're all thankful. And I know Thanksgiving is coming up, but we're supposed to wait till Thanksgiving to be thankful. We got to be thankful every day of the world. And so tonight, I'm thankful. I appreciate this church. I appreciate the body of Christ. And I look upon the ministers when we go to the meetings or when I watch the DVDs, and I thank God for the men of God, those that have blazed the trail, that they have went through many things and suffered many things, that you and I could have this wonderful gospel that will save you and I. And one of these days, we can say we've kept the faith, we've run the race with patience. So it's good to be here tonight, to feel what we feel, and so this can just get better and better. So let's make it better and better.
Well, I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Crow. I'm thankful for our older people that have stayed in the harness and kept this way, you know. And like Jesus said, that he that taketh the hold of the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So I'm thankful for those that are examples to us tonight, to us young people. And I'm thankful for our young people tonight also, and for hanging in there. You know, there's a lot of temptations and trials for young people, but they can make it, and they're examples of being able to make it through all that. Brother Durham was talking this morning about gold, how that it's got to be tried in the fire to be pure, and it's still gold, but it's not pure. And so we're children of God, but he's put us in a process to make us holy and to make us godly. And if we'll just hang in there, you know, stay in the fire, like that song goes, you know, he's still in the fire. And so I know that he'll stay here with me if I'll stay in here with him. And so I thought of that scripture that David said, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivereth me out of them all.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Some of them.
out of all of them. I've learned to trust in him, you know. And I'm learning that I can trust in him more and more and more. And every little thing, you know, it's just, it's an exciting road that we're in here tonight. You know, trusting in the Lord, because it just seems like, you know, I don't know what tomorrow is going to throw at me, but I know that he's going to be here with me. Sister, I know who holds tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. And so, and that's a good feeling. You know, there's comfort in that. There's peace in that. And I know who holds tomorrow. I know. Hallelujah. You know, and I know the one that holds tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? I know the one that that created this wonderful world that we live in. And he knows how it's supposed to run. And he's just trying to get us in line with it, you know. He's just trying to get us in line with his will. And so I'm trying to get in line with his will. And it's just a process that we're going through. And I worked in a pattern shop one time, and we made patterns for castings. And my cousin, Dan Boyd, he was the one that was teaching me. And he told me, he said that you can take a rod of steel and just pour, you know, a rod, they can pour a rod or extrude a rod of steel. An extrusion is when they push steel through a form and they just keep pushing it through there. It's called an extrusion. And a casting is when they just pour it into a mold. But you can take a rod of steel. Back when I was a teenager, I got the privilege of working for a horse ranch. I worked there for a couple years. I finally realized I wasn't going to get anywhere in life working there, so I moved on. But I had a lot of fun there, and one of the things that I got to watch was the old farrier that would come in. He seemed like he was there all the time. I worked for a ranch that raised American Saddlebreds, and they had to have custom shoes made. And they would take a rod of steel, about 3/4 of an inch around by about 18 inches long, and he would take and stick that steel in a forge, a hot forge, and it would get blazing red hot, and then he would take that steel with a pair of tongs and put it over this anvil and start beating on it. And you'd hear that clang, 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 you know, that hammer hitting that steel and smell that coal burning, you know. It was just a neat experience. But I learned that every time they hit that steel with that hammer, the molecules in that steel become in line, okay? When it's poured, the molecules are just kind of all crisscrossed in there and kind of like haywire, you know, just anywhere. But when they pound that steel with a hammer, it strengthens that steel by a lot. All those molecules become in line with each other, and they become stronger and stronger and stronger. And in fact, I've learned that that's how the old Japanese swords were made. You know, they just pound them swords, just pound them. Who knows how many times those swords got pounded to make them strong. And to make them, you know, that was one of the things, you know, whose sword could cut the other guy's sword in half, whose sword was the strongest. And so, pressure, who was it? I think it was Brother Green the other night was talking about that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And I'd never thought of this way, but he said, you know, without wrinkle, you have to be iron. It takes pressure and it takes heat to iron out the wrinkles out of our life. And so every time, you know, we go through a trial, it's, you know, feel like God's smashing us one, but he's trying to, You know, our life is getting stronger. You know, we will become more and more pure. The more pure we get, the less the fire affects us. You know, it's just a part of our life. The heat becomes a something that you don't feel it so much because it's just because you know that it's God, what He's doing for it. He's making me pure. In fact, you can get to where you can enjoy and just know that God's there taking you through everything you're going through in your life. And so I love the Lord, you know, and I love the way what he's doing in my life. And I'd like to read, if it's okay, this chapter. I thought about this chapter when y'all were giving your testimonies in Psalms 34. David was a man who learned to trust in the Lord and love the Lord. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart, and he learned to understand that God was that God loved him, and that all that he went through for it was for his own good. You know, if you think about what David went through before he became a king, he was a great king. He's probably the greatest king that Israel had. But if you think what he went through, his training process that he went through to get there, I don't think anybody would want to be a king that they knew what he had to go through to be the kind of a king David was. But he loved the Lord, and he knew God was there. He trusted in the Lord, you know. He learned to trust in the Lord. And that even when he made mistakes, he got up. And he knew God would be there to strengthen him, you know. We talk about the time when he went down in went down into the Philistines and lived with them for a while. And we know he was fleeing from Saul. I'm sure he just got tired of running from Saul. And so he thought he would just go down and live with the Philistines for a while. And the Philistines, what he left to go fight with the Philistines, I believe. They lost all of their women, all their wives and their children, everything that they had. And boy, he got down, you know. If anybody had a reason to get down, he got down. But, you know, he looked to God, knew that he had somebody in his corner that was greater than everything that he could go through. And he strengthened himself when there was no one to stand with him. You know, everybody turned against him. But he knew that there was somebody greater on his side and that he had strength that no one else could give him, only God. And so he stood back up, and he went on to go out, and he captured, gathered everything they lost, and gave it to those that didn't go fight with him, those that stayed with the stuff. He came back and gave to them, and he just had a true heart of God, of love and compassion. And trust in the Lord. Let me read this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, and there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them from out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So I thank the Lord tonight.
I enjoyed all the words here tonight, every testimony, and the words of gratitude that were expressed in the preaching and the songs. I think this would be a... We have any announcements for this week, Brother Durham?
Not till Wednesday.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see you Wednesday night. Let's give the Lord a thanks before we go home.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this service.
Hallelujah.
Good words that were spoken.
Thank you, Lord.
Ask you, Lord, be with us as we go home tonight. Cover us, each and every one, as we leave.
God, keep us encouraged. Guard us, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Be thou light. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
All right, we'll see you.